Well, it's a pleasure for me to be able to introduce our brother Gordon to speak to us again. So I ask your careful attention and your prayers for our brother as he brings to us the message. Gordon?
Thank you, Brother Don. Hopefully I'll make a little more sense than I did on Sunday school class this morning. I get excited when I come across things that supports my faith, and I like to share those things. And sometimes some of those things that I try to share, I don't get it across as well as I'd like to get it. One of the things that the Lord has been working in my heart and on my mind to I don't know if it's ever happened to you where there's this thing that is in your heart and mind. You can't fully understand it. You're searching, you're looking, you're trying to get it all put in place so that you can have an understanding of it. And that's what I have had for several months concerning the plan of God in these last days and how it's going to unfold, and those things that God is going to do in these last days. And I know it's important, I'm looking out at a group of people that are seasoned Christians who've made a commitment in their life and have been diligent in keeping the commandments of God and endeavoring to be a child of God. And so I hope that tonight I might be able to at least bring some thoughts to you and maybe some clarity to some sense, but to be able to maybe spark that little thing in your mind that you'd want to continue on in that study in vain. I want to start with Hebrews in the 11th chapter, and really this is a whole crux to our belief. Here in that first verse, and then the sixth verse, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen." And yet we have many of the prophecies. We have been blessed as a people to be given wisdom and knowledge about certain things that is going to transpire. We have been given those of us who have accepted the Book of Mormon, there is more light that has come to us than many in the world that gives us more clarity in the things that are occurring in these last days. And then in the sixth verse it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And that's the thing I want to stress to you tonight, as well as what I feel in my heart and mind concerning these things that I'm going to try and bring out. I have this desire to know and have an understanding that I might be able to preach and teach and bring hope to my brothers and sisters and to those who would hear concerning the plan of God and how he has worked from the generations of time and how it's coming and being, just as the scripture says, being rolled up as a scroll. The finishing act that we see. Just something really quick. In Ether, the book of Ether, in the first chapter, you can find this on page 723. A little tidbit of things that maybe you haven't even thought of. I want to bring it to your attention, and then I'll go into the meat of what I want to cover tonight. This is the writings of Moroni. It's an excerpt to those writings of the on those 24 plates of gold that he was of the brother of Jared, and he was translating, and he was making this abridgment, and then he inserts some of his thoughts and the things in here, and it has to do with us. And so we find here in let's start at 97. "And now, after that, they have all dwindled in unbelief, and there is none save it be the Lamanites, and they have rejected the gospel of Christ. Therefore, I am commanded that I should hide them up again in the earth. And so he helps us to understand what is going on at the time that he's writing these things. And then he goes on to say, behold, I have written upon these plates the very things which the brother Jared saw. And if you remember correctly, the brother Jared saw everything from the beginning of time to the end of time. Remember that. And there never was greater things made manifest than that which was made manifest unto the brother Jared. Wherefore the Lord hath commanded me to write them, and I have written them. And he commanded me that I should seal them up, and he also had commanded that I should seal up the interpretation thereof. Wherefore I have sealed up the interpreters according to the commandment of the Lord. For the Lord said unto me, they shall not go forth unto the Gentiles until the day that they shall repent of their iniquity and become clean before the Lord. Has that happened? No, it hasn't. That hasn't happened yet. And in that day that they shall exercise faith in me, saith the Lord, even as the brother Jared did, that they may become sanctified in me, then will I manifest unto them the things which the brother of Jared saw, even to the unfolding unto them all my revelations, saith Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, the heavens and of the earth, and all things that in them are. What a beautiful promise. That's being held out to us, we, the Gentiles. It's there. That's why I read in Hebrews. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so my thoughts concerning this little excerpt, this little editor's note by Moroni, concerning those beautiful things that the brother Jared saw, and he abridged those things in those records that were hid up, and Joseph Smith was not to touch. They're waiting. They're waiting to come forth. Have you been thinking on those things? Have we given considered thought? Have we exercised our faith in such a way, as Moroni has said? I say this because I am thrilled to have that understanding and a desire for us to be able to have those things to help us in these last days. I feel that those things will be beneficial to the bride of Christ in these last days to strengthen and to help us in this trial that lies before us. But it comes with a condition. They're not going to go forth unto the Gentiles until the day that they shall repent of their iniquity and become clean before the Lord. That's the goal. That's the goal that God has placed before us, that we might be able to experience those beautiful things and to be strengthened in the last days. The plan of God. God has had a plan from the very beginning. And the things, the beautiful things that I like about history is to be able to see, to be able to look at history through eyes of those who have already experienced it, and to be able to see it as a scroll unfolding, and to marvel at the wonder of God's blessings in the children of men who have exercised faith. Who has trusted in the Word of God to the point that he blesses them. And so my story tonight starts with a man who did that very thing, Abraham. Abraham trusted God to the point that he was willing to give his only begotten son to his Father in heaven. To trust that much, to have that much faith. God saw that, and he blessed Abraham. Let's turn to Genesis in the 22nd chapter. 22nd chapter. Let's look at just a few verses here. In the 15th verse of the 22nd chapter of Genesis. It says, "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand of the sea which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." As we look out across all the many nations and all the many peoples, this one man exercising his faith, God chose to do a mighty work for the children of men. Because as we know that it was through Abraham's seed, as it went from Isaac and to Jacob, which was named Israel and the 12 sons of Israel. Then we know through the lineage of Judah that Jesus Christ would be known to the world. Jesus' earthly father, through the root of Solomon, the kingship of Judah, and his mother, through Nathan, who Nathan was a child coming from the concubines of David, of those that he had conquered. But there was a place when you even look at all of that lineage, when you go through there and you consider what took place and how God used ordinary men and women as they applied their faith to unfold that beautiful picture, to come to that very point in time when Jesus Christ came to the earth in flesh, that all the world would be blessed because of it. We have the Gospels, the New Testament, that testifies of his walk here on earth. We have the prophets that foretold his coming. And it was through the root of Jesse, the seed of Judah, the son of Israel. We also know and we can understand that this marvelous plan of God had other things in there to help to preserve and to bring about his mighty purposes in the children of men. We find that there was one that came from the seed of Levi that played a mighty role in that plan. We also saw that there was one that would come through another son, Joseph. And those three sons, Joseph, Judah, and the seed of Levi, would bring us to the day that we live today, to fulfill that promise that he gave to Abraham long ago. And they all come together beautifully. And it came together before. Some of you weren't even alive. Some of you were participants of it coming together. Remember Joseph? Because of the blessings that was blessed upon him, his father's favor, sold into Egypt. And even in his own words, that it was God's plan that I was sold to preserve Israel. A mighty man of faith. Through the Book of Mormon, we understand more fully how close he walked with God. Because we find that there was many prophecies that came through Joseph. And you can find it in the second chapter of the second book of Nephi. He was told about our day. He knew what role his sons were going to play, Ephraim and Manasseh, in the preserving of Israel. That beautiful blessing of the Son of God coming on earth. And it would be a type. It would be a type of what was to come. So we know through, once Joseph brought Israel in, they lived there for 400 years. They prospered, and later on they became servants and persecuted. Part of God's plan. Part of that beautiful plan of God. Why? Because he had already told them. Told their fathers, I have a land that I'm going to give to you. He told Abraham. He told Isaac. He told Jacob, this land is yours. This land is yours and to your seed. That whole area over there, the land of Canaan. We live in a world today that is trying to take that from Israel. Tell them that you don't own it. That you falsely acquired it. And the world is trying with all their might to circumvent the plan of God. It should be of no surprise. Who is the prince of this world? Satan himself. Desiring to destroy the things of God. So we find that at the end of those 400 years, it would be the lineage of Levi, Moses. Moses. Right there in Exodus 2nd chapter, the first verse, you find he was of the lineage of Levi. He became priests of Israel. Wasn't given land. They were to be servants of Israel, of the tribes of Israel, to preach and to teach and to keep the ordinances which were given of Moses to give to his children, Israel. And it was through Moses that Israel would be able to be led out of Egypt. By the mighty hand of God. With all those wonders and those things that were displayed, the power of God preserving Israel. And they were led out to go to the land that they were promised to secure it. A type of what's to come. What is to come for Israel? They're going to be led out of the four corners of the earth. As we read in the 10th chapter of the 3rd book of Nephi, they're going to be led out, and they're not going to go by flight. They're going to be led out of all those areas, and they're going to come to the land that God gave them long ago. They're going to be the recipients of that. That's why there's a type of those things that have already happened. It should be something that we thank God for that understanding. And thank God that it bolsters our faith to know that we believe in a God that when he makes a promise, he doesn't forget. We may forget, but he doesn't. And his promises are sure. In the book of Isaiah, in the 11th chapter, let's read a couple of verses here. Because it talks about that, what I have been laying out before you tonight. In the 11th chapter, verses 10 through 12. Here in the 11th chapter of Isaiah, verse 10, it says, "In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." That was the coming forth of Jesus Christ through that lineage that I told you. And we desirous to follow after that, being part of the plan of God, where we find that Israel rejected their Messiah, the one that was promised, the Christ, as that woman sitting on the well. What was it? What did she say? "Art thou the Christ that our fathers spoke of?" They knew his name. They were looking for him. And that's when the Lord said, "I can give you living waters." And she was a Samaritan. And you find that when she went and told her fellow friends and stuff of the Samaritans were the ones that the Jewish nations shunned. They believed. And there was many things that the Lord was able to do because of their belief and their faith, and could not do among the house of Israel. The 11th verse, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people which shall be left." When was the first time? I told you about it. When the Lord led Israel out of Egypt and brought them to their promised land. That was the first time. The seed of Joseph, is going to play a role in the second time. The 12th verse is, "And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." And that, my friends, is bringing us today. So through the seed of Joseph, what do we know about that? We know Ephraim and Manasseh, right? So we know that who was of Manasseh? Our brethren in Yucatan. We know that Lehi was of the seed of Manasseh. And as we know that through their records, they kept from Lehi, Nephi, and then on down through the vistas of time, where Christ came and he visited them, fulfilling those words in John in the 10th chapter, "Other sheep that I have that are not of this fold, they will hear my voice." And so it is. That is the testimony of the Book of Mormon. The voice of Christ to the seed of Manasseh. Then we find that through Ephraim, that there was to be a seer that was to be raised to bring forth the record that was kept by Manasseh, that was abridged by Mormon, and then finally by Moroni. That abridgment was to be come forth to try the faith of his children. It's not those records that I read at the very beginning. It was the abridgment that God was going to use to try the faith of his children, and to be used in the last days to fulfill that promise in that 12th verse. And he shall set up an ensign for the nation and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel. That ensign is the Bible and the Book of Mormon that is being presented to the world, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. It was there to convince, it was to be used as a tool to convince Israel that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And so we find in our time that Ephraim, through Joseph Smith, who had the gift and the power as a seer to bring forth the Book of Mormon. Let's go to the second chapter of Nephi, and the second Nephi, second chapter, and verses 19 through 23. That's on page 88. Wherefore the fruit of thy loins shall write, and the fruit of the loins of Judah shall write, and that which shall be written by the fruit of thy loins, and also that which will be written by the fruit of the loins of Judah, shall grow together. A beautiful promise. And we hold it today, fulfilled before our eyes. It was to be a standard to his people. It was to help them to understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In the 12th chapter of 2nd book of Nephi, verses 42 through 44, page 156. But behold, there shall be many at that day when I shall proceed to do a marvelous work among them, that I may remember my covenants, which I have made unto the children of men, that I may set my hand again the second time to recover my people, which are the house of Israel. And also that I may remember the promises which I have made unto thee, Nephi, and also unto thy father, that I would remember your seed, and that the words of your seed should proceed forth out of my mouth unto your seed. And my word shall hiss forth unto the ends of the earth for a standard unto my people, which are the house of Israel. And how beautiful that was, that, you know, I was able to, this year, able to be at the place where it all began. Where that record was carried by a Gentile. Where the last remnant, the Messio Sioux, was present in 1951. And heard the words from the book. And he stood and he said, that's our record. All the prayers, when you're reading through the Book of Mormon, you find many, many prayers were made, lifted up to God for that very moment, starting from Lehi, when God came to him and said, you come out of Israel, I'm going to preserve a remnant. And he obeyed God's word. From that moment, And all the history that we have in the Book of Mormon as it was recorded, and as we have it's abridged, the prayers and the faith of those who painstakingly kept the record, that at some point in time, God would use that to reclaim His people. Faith of their children. And we saw it come together in 1951. In 1953, that is when the church was established among the house of Joseph. The seed of Manasseh. Bringing together the promises that started with Abraham. That went through those three sons, Levi and Judah and Joseph. That there would be a mighty work that would come from that in the last days. Prophecies, the things that we have before us. How beautiful. You know, how beautiful are they in our eyes? I hope and pray they are. I hope and pray that you can see the beauty of God's plan as it unfolds among the children of men. And to keep it close to heart. That's why this morning when I said it is so important to have a testimony. To know with a surety that if somebody threatened your life, you either cast this aside and say it as of naught and your life will be spared, or die. That you would be willing because of the testimony that you could not deny. It's of God. It's the words of Jesus Christ. That we carry those words, the stick of Judah and the stick of Joseph, as that ensign, and we hold it high before the children of men who live in darkness. That's our role in these last days. That what is the expectation that God has placed upon this little church of Christ. Bride in these last days. That thing that God had promised that He was going to establish that would not fall away. That it would be everlasting. For good or for bad, as my brother Don spoke of, told me this morning when we were visiting about these things. That's why I enjoy reading the things of Isaiah. Because our Lord, when He was with them, He said, study these words of Isaiah. You know, a commandment I give unto you, that ye search these things diligently. And what was that in Hebrews in the 11th chapter? God is a rewarder of them who diligently do what? Seek Him. And so He is telling them, diligently seek these things diligently, for great are the words of Isaiah. And I guess that's the thing that has been sticking in my heart and mind for some time now. And I come across those beautiful little treasures in there. And God helps me to think on those things. And it ties these things that have been spoken of long ago together. And it helps me to see in my mind's eye that plan unfolding of God in these last days. It bolsters my faith. It helps me to be assured that God is in control. God is the author and the finisher of this plan that He has set long ago for the children of men. So I hope and pray that that little bit of desire that I've been able to display enters your heart. To seek diligently those things of God and apply your faith, that you too might have a better understanding of the things that God intends to do in these last days. May God bless you in that endeavor.